When Pastor Danny first told me about Haiti, I thought, why Haiti? And I thought, well, why not? And I'm just being honest with you. I didn't think a whole lot about it. And he told me about Tim, and he told me about new missions, and I met Tim at a conference and looked at his material. And the more I struggled with it, I went back to the fact that God loves me. He loves you. He loves them. It's pretty clear in John 3:16, for God so loved the world. And we all know that. Everybody in this room could speak to that. And then I started thinking, well, Haiti is really desperate, from what I hear. I can go. Pretty easy for me to go. Pastor made all the arrangements. So it was easy for me to go. And I thought about it, and I thought about all of us. And all of us can't go. Some of you may say, gee, I'd like to, but I just can't. But you can go in other ways. And the verse here, when in Isaiah 6:8, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. Physically I can go. I can go in prayer. I can go with my money. I can go and do things that they can't do for themselves. And I thought, well, Haiti, it's not all that bad. I can go with the pastor. Maybe we have a little pool time. Enjoy ourselves one afternoon, you know, get a little sun. It was December last month. I was thinking maybe a little time on the beach. A little fun in the sun. Not. It was sunshine, okay? It was sunshine, but it was no fun, okay? Let me show you where Haiti is, okay? There is Florida right there, and Haiti is right there, okay? It's on an island with the Dominican Republic. On one side, on the other side is Haiti. That is Guantanamo Bay right there. You could almost swim to it. You've all heard about Guantanamo Bay. That is our base in Cuba. You could almost swim between the islands. Well, not really, but you could, you know. And so we're talking about less than 700 miles from Florida to Haiti. That's closer than New York City is to us, just to give you an idea, okay? It's just a little bit further than Washington, D.C. 3 years ago, there was an earthquake in Haiti. Devastation was unreal. You cannot describe it. I saw things I didn't believe. Over 300,000 people died in that earthquake. That's more than the people in this county, I believe. Let me give you a little background about the country, just so that you understand where I'm going to be coming from tonight, and understand some of the other stuff that you've already heard. Now, Haiti was discovered by Christopher Columbus when he sailed the ocean blue. You know that story. It was Spanish, and then the French came. The French took over. The Spanish have the Dominican Republic side of it. And then, oops, hit the wrong button. Dominican Republic is on this side. Haiti is on this side. When the French were there, they brought in slaves. The slaves brought their religion, which was voodoo. Right now, 79 to 80% of the country still practices voodoo. What is voodoo? Satan worship. Okay? Let's call a spade a spade. It is Satan worship. And that's what most of the people there do. The government is corrupt. And so there's no help at this point through the government, through the organizations that try to send help. If you send a container ship down there, you have to pay $20,000 to get a container offloaded, which goes to the government. Where does that go? Exactly. It goes in their pockets. It's sad when you see the devastation and the state of the country. It is tragic. In 1791, the slaves revolted and promised Satan that if he would grant them the victory, that they would worship him. And they have done so since that time. And so the country is a satanic stronghold. You know, it's pretty neat to go to a satanic stronghold and have the warrior standing behind you of Jesus Christ. You know, I like the odds. 80 to 20, I'll take them. Currently, they have 3 million people, approximately 3 million people living on this island. And let me tell you, half of those are school-age children or younger, 18 and under. That's 1.5 million children out of 3 million people. Now, half of those don't go to school because there are either no schools or the children have to work or they have to beg to make a living. The average income is $350 a year. On the morning that we left, around 4 o'clock in the morning, there were two workers going off to work. And they had their machetes with them because they were going to work in the sugarcane fields. Now, Eric, what would you ask for an hour's worth of work cutting sugarcane? $10 or $15. Okay, thank you, Eric. They get $5 a day. The hours are 12 to 14 hours a day in the hot sun cutting sugarcane, if they're lucky enough to get it. Like I said, $350 a year is their average pay. Another picture of where Haiti is. Let me just show you. There's Miami. There's Cuba. There's Haiti, Domrep. A lot of you have heard of San Juan, Puerto Rico, part of the U.S., okay? And many of you have been down to some of these islands down in the Caribbean. There's one I really like, Barbados, but we won't go there. I get sidetracked real easily. I was in the Navy, and yes, I went there, and I toured all of these islands in a goodwill for several years, trying to go down and help them out. I want to talk a little bit right now about new missions. I'm not exactly sure what Tim covered this morning, but let me tell you what I took away from meeting Tim and meeting his brother and seeing all that we saw. New missions has a different philosophy about doing mission work. A lot of times when we go on a mission trip, we go and we do construction, or we go and do evangelism, things like that. New missions used to do the same type of thing, but they've been there long enough now with their mother and father having started this ministry and having trained and brought in other missionaries. They trained so many of the Haitians that the Haitians are now training themselves. They have 30 schools, slant churches. Each school is also a church. Each church has a pastor. He's also the principal of the school. Okay? Most of the pastors and most of the teachers that teach there are graduates of New Missions Ministry, of the schools. They're all the children that are going there are being taught about Jesus Christ. Pretty neat. Now, each one of the schools has a nurse. Each one of those nurses takes care of not only the children that are there, they teach the children, and they're there in front of them so that they can see those children up close and personal and know when there's something wrong. And they're able to dispense drugs as needed. They're also there for the community. The community otherwise would have no medical assistance whatsoever. Yet, the nurses take care of that. Now, like I said, they have 30 schools. One of those is a technical school, a high school, and a Bible Institute is coming. We are going to be a part of this Bible Institute. A Timothy Barnabas type of school where we can help teach the Haitians. One of the things I did do, and I'm not ashamed to tell you this, is that I checked out new missions to make sure they're legitimate. Can't help myself. I do things like that. I don't ever want to invest in any organization unless I know that it's legit. New missions is the real deal. It is the real deal. While we were down there at the airport, there was a young man that was leaving, and he said that he had just spent a week there in Haiti at an orphanage. I'm not going to give you the name of it. I checked that orphanage out. They received $42 million last year in donations for less than 100 children in their orphanage. Their average pay is $350 a year. New Missions really pays above and beyond. They pay their pastors $300 to $400 a month. Their teachers get around $300 a month. They're at the top of the scale. They're giving those children that are going to school there, and there's 10,000 children. They're giving those children in New Mission schools an opportunity for a new life in two ways, physically and spiritually. Think about that. If we, the people like us, did not invest the $30 a month that it takes to do that, they wouldn't have the opportunity to better themselves. They wouldn't have the opportunity to learn about Jesus Christ. And folks, when we were there, they were singing and reciting the Bible in school. One of the tragedies that I heard was out of the population of so many children, the mortality rate is 50% for children 5 and under. 50%. That's every other child that's born dies before he or she reaches the age of 5 years old. That's incredibly high. I read yesterday in the Greenville News that 7.9 out of 100,000 in South Carolina mortality rate. That's too high. But 7.9 out of 100,000 compared to 50,000? That's comparable. You know, using our state and their state, It's tragic. Okay. This is a school, and they come mostly open air type because it's warm there all year round. This is a school that First Baptist Church Woodstock built. One of the schools that we went to, and I'm going to jump around with different schools, and I'm going to be coming back to this school a lot. I wanted to show you this school. And because we spent some time there. This school was built up on a mountain. It's about 3,000 feet high, I believe, is what they told us. And as you looked out, the scenery was gorgeous. But you looked out and you noticed that there weren't any trees in so many areas. They've come in and harvested all the trees and didn't replant. And so it's about 90% deforested. They came in. They cut out all the valuable timber and the trees, and they didn't do anything about it. And it's devastating to the country. Okay, look at this You see, you saw in the movie or the video that we had just a moment ago that the children either wear pink or yellow like this. Those are uniforms. The kids get to go to school, and now they're starting at age 4 so that they can help cut down on the mortality rate because there's a nurse there to take care of them. Okay? They're fed. For your $30, I'm talking about, I want you to know what $30 will do. Okay? Most of us can afford to drop $30 when we go out to eat. But maybe you can't. Think of it this way. It's less than a dollar a day. They get to go to school. They get to go to church. They get their uniforms. They get medical attention. And they're fed every day. And on the weekends, on Friday, they get to take home all the food they can carry for not only themselves, but for their family. Pretty neat. $30. This is the same school. And you can see the children are leaving. The mom's helping carry the backpack. You see this area right here? This is the kitchen facilities out here. DHEC would have a fit, but we'll talk about that in a minute. But a lot of the children that go to school here walk an hour one way to go to school. An hour. Most of our children complain about having to even ride a bus, much less walking. This is children going to school after opening assembly here in an open air. And you can see them walking to school. You see these piles of rock and all. This is being brought in to bring the ground level back up because the ground after the earthquake dropped. And so they're trying to bring it back up. The devastation was so bad that many buildings collapsed just totally. A lot of them are still standing with major damage. Right over here is the new missions compound, and I'll show you pictures of that in a little bit. But these kids are so precious as they walk to school. They raised their flag, the Haitian flag, and then they came and went to school. This is a typical classroom, and you can see they have blackboards, they have desks, they have their uniforms. Of course, they have a teacher. They also have a pastor, principal. But you see these things? These are desks. They don't look like much. But there's a business that, different businesses that build those by Haitians, and they're improving their economy. Here's some of the little boys that wanted their picture taken outside of the school. They were pretty cute. Remember, there's 10,000 children that go to New Mission School. 10,000. They will build a school as soon as they get the money to build another one. Cost about $25,000 to $30,000, closer to $30,000 to build a school. Education, Jesus, food, clothing. Another school. This little boy had on his name tag. A lot of children can't go to school because they work or beg. They can't be there. Remember, half the kids don't even make it to the age eligible to go to school because they're dead. 50% die. We're back in the school that Woodstock built, and during our visit there, we did several things. Of course, we visited with them. They recited scripture, and when we visited different classrooms, they went ahead and taught, and I tell you, yes, I went through college, I'm in seminary, etc. They were teaching some mathematics that I didn't even have. This is top-notch education. Now, you might recognize this fellow back here in the back. His head's glowing. another classroom. And one of the things I will tell you, in a lot of the schools, all the children from age 4 until they're ready to go off to high school are in one classroom. So, Miss Laura, how would that be to have four-year-olds all the way up through middle school and try to teach them all at the same time? It'd be hard, wouldn't it? They do it. And the kids sit there and work on their work while the teacher's teaching something else. And you know what? They pick up on some of the older stuff as well. Now, this was really exciting. We had the opportunity to pass out these Christmas boxes. You've done the same thing with Samaritan's Purse. This is a little bit different. These are made up, shipped down to Orlando, put on a crate down there, a shipping container, and New Missions pays the entry fee to get it in there. And what we were allowed to do was to pass these Christmas boxes out and watch these kids as they opened them. $30,000 for a school. That doesn't seem like much, does it? $30,000. Education, they're taught about Jesus, they're fed, they're clothed, they get medical attention, the possibility of two new lives, physical and spiritual. They were opening these Christmas boxes and some of them were crying at the little trinkets that they received. And I got to tell you, some of the trinkets were things that a lot of our children would just throw away because they aren't what they, you know, they're not an iPad or an iPod or whatever we call them. Now, one of the things that was really neat was Pastor Danny was passing out some spoons, okay? And this one little boy just kept coming back getting a spoon and he went scratching his head because he had no hair. And sorry about that. Anyhow, what the little boy was doing was he was taking the spoons to these children standing outside the windows. You see those windows there? Like I said, a lot of the kids can't go to school. They don't have spoons either. None of them have utensils to eat with. They eat with their dirty little fingers and they get sick because of that. And so when we were passing out these spoons, this one little boy, he wanted to make sure he was taking care of his buds. And so he was going over there, handing him a spoon. He'd go back and he'd get another spoon. And he was making trips back and forth, passing out these spoons. And they lit up. I mean, it was like they had gotten a Mercedes instead of a spoon. It was a big day for him. It was a big day. Here's their kitchen for that particular school. One of the cooks, she had her hands full. They fixed black beans and rice every day. That's the staple. And that's what they served. And like I said, on the weekends, the kids can carry home as much as they can carry black beans and rice. They had a guest cook that day. But he didn't last long. They decided they didn't need his help. So they moved along. This is a picture of the high school, part of the high school. The high school was very big. And this is just one of them. And you can see the windows and it's just all open air. There's no air conditioning. And this was December in the 80s and 90s. Can you imagine when it gets a little warmer? This is another picture of the high school. And you can see that's part of it. And then over here was another part of it. It's a very nice facility. Very nice. In the video that you watched, the man mentioned the the voodoo temple. One of the pastors that has gone through new mission schools. He's gone through the schools. He went through the Bible Institute that they have, and he's become a pastor. Let me explain to you something. He and his family have accepted Jesus Christ. And they're standing for Jesus. His uncle is the voodoo priest at the temple that I'm going to show you. Now, he's been excommunicated, if you will, from that family because he doesn't practice voodoo. Many of the children that go to the 10,000 children that go to new mission schools, of course, they go to school and they also come to church. Many of their mothers come. Not as many of their fathers. They still practice voodoo. This is the voodoo temple. Now, you can see some of the devastation. They have tarps over the roof. This lady works there. Another picture. That's Tim DeTellis right there. You can see the walls down, the ceilings, the roof, and everything is down. A little more of the devastation there. You can see the tents or homes that they have. This is an active temple. They practice voodoo, the worship of Satan. And people from all over the island come to this temple. This lady sitting here is a businesswoman selling her wares. And you see these things here? These are for voodoo worship. Rum and some other things. I didn't get close enough to see exactly. I didn't want to get any closer. When I walked into that voodoo temple, the hair on the back of my neck, it still gives me the heebie-jeebies walking into Satan's stronghold. Now, he might kill this old body, but he can't take my soul. And I've got Jesus Christ, and I was protected. But this woman did not appreciate her picture being taken. After she didn't see me taking the picture. A couple others did, and she did not appreciate it. Now, look at these kids. These are kids as I came out of the temple, okay? They were just as happy as punch, you know? They just wanted to see us and talk to us and say hi. Look how sweet they are. Now, look a little bit closer. You see this girl? You see her hair? You see what color that is? Blonde. Her hair has blonde in it, and hers, and his. If you can see the actual picture, you could see more blonde. That's from malnutrition. Their parents tell them, drink lots of water so you won't be as hungry. You see, this is the camp around, or their homes around the voodoo temple. Samaritan's Purse has been there. That's a Samaritan's Purse tarp. And you can see the liquid here. Use your imagination. This is the housing around it. There is no garbage pickup, and there's no septic or sewer system. They go where they go. Ooh, gotta pick it up. Okay. You see this lady? We were boarding our bus and getting ready to leave, and she came up and held this baby up and wanted us to take the baby. It was a newborn baby because she could not take care of this child and knew that the child would probably die and wanted us to take her. This is New Missions, the compound. You can see it's very nice. They've done a lot of work. They've replaced a lot of buildings. They still have a lot of buildings left to replace. This picture got thrown in here. This is a mistake. This will be at the end again. But that was our group. This is a picture of the room that we stayed in. That was David Chambers' bed, and that was my bed. We had mosquito netting around us to keep the bugs out, the mosquitoes out. You see, we had fans. They were kind enough to leave the fans on all night. The electricity is normally turned off at nighttime to save the generator, but they left it on all night because it was still in the upper 80s. That was a friend that came to visit. I think everybody had one of those. That's a tarantula, and they were about yay big around, and I'm not exaggerating. There's the cabin that we stayed in. This is a picture of the ocean from the compound. They're in a beautiful location. There's David standing on the beach. You notice that the beach is rock. It's not a nice sandy beach like I was looking for. Of course, we didn't have time to do that anyhow. And the water is polluted. There is no sewer system. And we were told, do not get in the water, because one of the people that had come before had been warned about that. He got in the water and he got deathly ill. This is the open air market. One of the open air markets. And you can see some of the stuff here. They keep it rather clean here. That's what a lot of them look like. And that's just garbage. When they sell vegetables and the vegetables are rotten, they just throw them right out there in the street. And they go to the bathroom right there and so forth. That is one of the buildings at the New Missions compound. That is a wall. The floor looks the same way. They're still using it until they can rebuild. They have no choice. Now, there's the group, the motley crew, if you will. That's back at the school that First Baptist Woodstock built. Now, here's some opportunities that we have as a church. We can adopt a child. $30 a month. Food, schooling, church, medical, clothes, an opportunity for eternity, and an opportunity for a life here. We can take trips, vacation Bible school type trips, backyard Bible studies, sports camps, those types of things. We can also do Christmas boxes. We had the opportunity this year to pack Christmas boxes and get them down to Florida, and Tim will make sure they get to the kids at B. Ray, and that's the school that we're going to help rebuild. It was damaged by the earthquake. It is condemned, and it's within walking distance of the compound. We can do spoons. Most people in Haiti have no eating utensils. We can help with the Bible Institute, a training facility. Our part would be $5,000. What a great investment to know that the men and women in Haiti will have the opportunity to be able to learn about Jesus Christ and take that learning and go out and teach all these youngsters that we're going to help support. Rebuild a school in B. Ray. That's a community, as I said, that's within walking distance of the compound. Two other churches have already pledged $10,000 each. The schools, like I said, cost $25,000 to $30,000. Our part's $5,000. Those are the opportunities that we have. Obviously, I could stand up here all night and tell you about different things. We don't have the time for that. I'd love to. If you want to talk about it further after the service, I'd be glad to tell you anything else. If you have any questions. But remember back to the first slide in Isaiah. Here am I. Send me. How are you going to allow God to use you? Thank you.
Frank, I'm grateful. I really am. I want to... to follow up by just tying a bow around what Frank said, and we're not going to be here for just another minute or two. But it is important, and you'll see the PowerPoint that I have for you on the screen, and we're going to fly through this. Tonight was not about a preaching station. Tonight was not about a Bible exposition. Tonight was simply to put another set of eyes looking at the work in Haiti and saying, you can trust it. When we cast the vision back in February that we were going to live sent locally, nationally, and globally, people around here looked at me and said, what? How? Where? How are we going to get practically involved? And I knew that over time we would let some things bubble up and it would just happen. And we would find our place. So what I want to remind you is why we do this. Read it with me out loud. Ready, set, go. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day unto now. Paul was affirming the Philippians because he loved them and he prayed for them and he thanked them for their partnership in the gospel. We have taught time and time again, I'll continue to say it and echo it, we want to live sent. What does that mean? It means that we pray, give, and go. Just that simple. But where? Locally, nationally, and globally. So in that, is everybody supposed to do everything? Somebody answer the question. No, you're not supposed to do everything. But you are supposed to find where your heart is drawn and uniquely drawn to because of your experiences and your uniqueness. Joe and Ashley are leading the way with Operation Care. Denise and Bob are leading the way for the Good News Club. And then Todd and Eric are leading the way at Love the Lot. The more people that go get their toes in the water at Love the Lot come back and say, man, that was awesome. Everybody that goes and gets their toes wet at Good News Club says, man, I love this. Look what God's doing. Everybody that goes to Operation Care says, wow, this is cool. This is a really good thing. So all of these are simply platforms. I was taught many, many years ago, how dare you challenge the people to do something and you never give them a platform by which to act on it. It'd be like me going out onto the street and saying, listen, you're starving, you're hungry. There's a Golden Corral down in Anderson. I hope you find your way. That would be cruel, would it not? Tell a hungry man he's starving, yet do nothing about it and provide no platform for which for him to be fed. There's a way to do just that. Locally, then nationally, last week you heard about Reggie leading the way to Sioux Falls and partnering with his church plant. And next Sunday night, during the worship service, we're going to start the gathering here, and then we're going to pray, and I'm going to speak for a little while, and then we're going to dismiss. And those of you that are truly interested in the Dakota Baptist Convention, you're going to be meeting, you're going to be escorted out, and you're going to find out everything you need to know, and then there's going to be a commitment Sunday in 2 weeks in the context of the Sioux Falls trip. We'll do the same thing later on with Sturgis, but you need to know that Reggie and Bob are going to lead the way on preparing us for just that. Tying a bow around all of this, the reason I took Frank is because I wanted him to kind of have oversight of what we're going to do in Haiti. And that was the reason I took him down there with a possibility. Can we take some young people down there? Yes, no, the jury's still out on that. But the bottom line is Frank's going to be the lead dog on Haiti, and I'm going to be the lead dog on Muslim Bible Day. Because it's primarily just a give generously opportunity for 2013. But 2014, trust me, we're going to the Middle East. We're going to the Middle East. We're going to go and we're going to be a part of Bible distribution in the Middle East. That'll be a 2014 experience. Why? Because we must adopt an unreached people group around the world. He's coming back when all have heard and the last has heard. He's coming back. We want to be a part of that. So there are people that are reached and there are people that are unreached. There's even people that are unengaged. That's what Muslim Bible Day is all about. This give generously component to that is just the getting in place. So the purpose of today was not to preach a message, just to kind of tie a bow around the whole experience. I told you, and I want to remind you, and I want to put an exclamation point on what Frank has just said. All of our children this year, every time we're leading a children's activity, all the leaders need to be thinking, how can we encourage the children to bring spoons? And then we'll ship them down, spoons for Haiti. It's not just that they don't have utensils to eat with. It's not just that they have to eat with their dirty little hands and they get sick. It's the fact that they became a conduit of cholera, malaria, and dysentery to their whole families. The number one killer in Haiti today is cholera. that's brought in from Sri Lanka because the United Nations military there is there, and they brought in these new diseases that were not there previously. Cholera is devastating the nation today. So we need spoons there and try to put spoons in the hands of every Haitian, and not just the children of B-Ray and New Missions. In the December of this year, starting in October, October the 1st through December the 1st, we'll have our Samaritan's Purse opportunity where we'll be packing shoeboxes and sending them away. Why? Because we know where these go, and we can dictate where these shoeboxes go, and we will have a presence in those villages. Our shoeboxes will go specifically to B-Ray, the community that we're adopting at New Missions. So you'll all have the privilege of partnering with that. We'll all get an opportunity to get our feet wet in giving away to the children of Haiti through the shoebox drive. You haven't heard a word about this, but on March the 24th, Palm Sunday night, we're having a comedy night with Ken Kingdon. Now, you need to know why, because Laugh All Night is an organization that goes into churches like ours and others, and you use it as a community outreach. And it's just an incredible comedy experience. They had one last night down in Lawrenceville, Georgia with Tim Hawkins. We're having one here on March the 24th. And Ken will get up and we will laugh our brains out. It'll be a hilarious evening full of unbelievable Christian comedy. He's a wonderful man of God. I've known Ken for a long, long time. He'll be here. But he's here representing New Missions. And halfway through it, we'll take a little 10-minute break, and it'll be an opportunity for people to adopt children. And we will probably adopt somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 children that night. And all of the children that will be on the table for us that night, regardless of who's here, whoever you bring here as a guest, maybe they'll reach Jesus. We'll reach them for Jesus Christ here at the Laugh All Night. But the idea is, it doesn't matter whether they're a church member or not, we're going to give them the opportunity to help us change B-Ray, the community. You might think, Danny, you talk a lot about B-Ray and you've heard a lot about B-Ray. What is a B-Ray? The community where the camp is called Board Mayor. Board Mayor would be like here at Wrightfield Baptist Church. And you might think the next village, okay, you got to think about Williamson or Belton. No. There'd be 50 villages between here and Belton and 50 villages between here and Williamston. And a village is probably the size of this church property with nowhere less than 300 to 400 people living on it. Board Mayor is the size of this church building, just the sanctuary, two times, and there's 300 people living in huts in a community as large as this sanctuary doubled. 300 people living at Board Mayor, right there at the New Missions camp. B-Ray is literally 1/4 mile from the Board Mayor campus, and you got to go through one village to get to B-Ray. You go through LaSalle, Nepley and LaSalle, and then you got to go into B-Ray. It's an incredible poverty-stricken area. But Laugh All Night will be a wonderful opportunity for us to use it as an outreach leading up to Easter, but also an opportunity to get others to partner with us in supporting and ministering to B-Ray. Many of you, 30 of you, have adopted children. The Singleton household has now adopted 3. We've adopted Jean Estevenza. That's John right there on the left. He's 4 years old. He looks pretty rough there. He needs to smile a little bit. But I tell you what, it's amazing. When I got my packet in the mail on Tuesday, I sat there and opened it up, and I just began to weep. And it was almost like I was at the delivery for one of my own children. When I opened up that packet, I'm responsible for his medical care and his educational care. I'm partnering in the gospel with New Missions, and I'm going to be a ministering agent to Jean. And then Rafine, 3 years old. Lord, I plan to serve these children for a minimum of 15 years. Until they graduate, we're in for the long haul. And I plan to go see them. And I pray that one day they'll get to come and visit us and speak English to you. That'd be awesome. And some of you have sponsored these children before with other organizations. But with the other organizations you sponsor the children, like World Vision, Samaritan's Purse, they're all wonderful and they're trustworthy. They're not like that agency that Frank was talking about, the other, that was literally fleecing the flock of God for finances. These are real deal. What's special about this, Frank didn't share with you, but those little tags on the children, those tags are their school ID. It's got their picture on it, got their name on it, got their location, their GPS location where their homes are. It's got all the identification information about those children. They are ledgered. So when we adopt a child, if by chance you were to go, you would get to meet your child and take gifts to your child and see your child face to face. We plan to do some of that. The camp is only designed to take 20 people at a time. So a 20-person trip would be extravagant. And I plan to go in December, and I'll tell you why more about that. But for $60, I can make an investment in two children. Laura's Sunday school class, her and Amanda are embracing a child for the second graders. Their second grade class is going to adopt a child. And so that's three children that my family's going to touch. And I know that you guys are doing that. There's still two children left, two boys, two young teenage boys left over here. And if we don't adopt those tonight, that'll be fine. We're just going to ship those back to a new mission. Then we'll have an opportunity again in March the 24th to meet more children. And they'll all be B-Ray children. This is the church. I showed it to you this morning. This is the church before the earthquake. It was alive with the praises of the people. Pastor Jean Pinel Luis, I've not met him yet, but I will meet him in December. And we're going to partner with him and support him and try to love him. Frank's already shared with you that Gateway Church and First Baptist Winter Garden have already committed $10,000 to rebuild the B-Ray Church because it is leveled. It doesn't exist. It's completely condemned, unusual. The one pieces that are up are just hanging together block on block. It could collapse in a second. So it's unusable. So they're meeting under trees and the like. So we've already made a commitment that this is our 2013 investment. So part of your Live Sent funds are going to go to fund and support. We're not going to take an extra offering. We're not going to do anything else. It's coming out of our regular, systematic Live Sent giving. And you're going to find a whole lot about that next week. Stuff you don't know that's happening. But we're going to be in for the long haul. We're going to help rebuild that church. We're going to fund that ministry. Why? Because we're going to get our hands dirty in B-Ray, ministering to children we can touch and we can love and we can minister to. My two children, Jean and Rafine, I sent letters to them yesterday. I wrote them letters. I copied pictures of my family and I put them in there. And I let them know that we love them. I don't know how to love them anymore. I've never even seen them. And I'm just so emotional about it now because I know in Lord my heart, we would love to have children in our lives till I die. I'm getting too old for this. So I need to keep some of them away, but I want to keep doing that. I really do. Leadership development is going to be a significant component. Frank mentioned it, but you need to know something you don't know. In 2013, a brand new facility will be built right there at the high school campus. And the purpose of its building is to house a once-a-year Timothy Barnabas School. And if you don't know what that is, it's a Bible quipping and training enrichment time for pastors and leaders. So there'll be American pastors come in and be a part of that. That's going to happen in December. Those churches on the right, Lindsay Lane in Decatur, Alabama, First Baptist Woodstock, Clements Baptist Church right outside of Florence, Alabama, Crosslink Baptist Church right outside of Lynchburg, Virginia, Thomas Rowe Baptist Church, and Exciting Whitefield. While we were there, sitting in the cafeteria, our dining hall, which was an open-air pavilion kind of screened-in porch, we were sitting there having dinner, and they were casting the vision of starting this new Timothy Barnabas School there. And they also said, if we can fund this building and attach it to the high school, it will become the Bible Training Institute for all of New Mission. So every graduate that graduates, that wants to graduate from high school and go right into Bible training, he'll have that avenue. So this Bible Training Institute was completely funded under an open-air patio in 5 minutes. When they were talking about what it was going to cost to build it, it's going to cost $25,000 to build the facility. I said, guys, I don't care what y'all do. We're in. We're in. We made a commitment that night that we were going to commit $5,000 out of the 2012 resources in LiveSent. Monies that you've already been giving through LiveSent, we made a commitment and we led the way. And then all of a sudden, Lindsay Lake said, we're in. Thomas Rhodes said, we're in. CrossLink said, we're in. And in 5 minutes, the entire building was funded. They've already broken ground on it. They're ready to do it because you made a commitment to send us to find out where God was at work. And we found it. We're going to be training leaders who are going to be equipping children and young students in Haiti forever until Jesus returns. For that, I'm extremely excited. That money's already been given. It came out of the 2012 LiveSent offering. And only 30 families are participating on a weekly basis with LiveSent. You're going to hear a bunch about that next week. I need everybody strategically and intentionally engaged in LiveSent. And I'm going to talk to you about that next week. If we can do what we've done just this year with so few people engaged in giving generously to LiveSent, it's amazing what God's going to allow us to do. So exciting, Whitefield, I want you to pray, give, and go. Your testimony tonight, your testimony last week, your testimony the week before. I want you to worship Him. I want you to love the Lord with all your heart. And as you worship Him, I want you to find your places of unique service in the kingdom of God. So I'm asking you to pray. Now I'm going to ask you to do this for me. Next Sunday, I need everybody here. I need everybody here. It's not a long weekend. Our students will be back. I need you Sunday school teachers. I need every lay leader. I need you to hammer the bushes. I need everybody back in the house Sunday morning because I've got something very, very important to share in the context, I believe, how we're going to be able to see possibly the Lord Jesus come back soon. Our activity collectively will usher in the return of the Lord Jesus. I don't know when. I just want to be a part of His coming back, don't you? And I'm telling you in Jesus' name, I'm excited about what's happening. This morning, many of you took a child. We had 28 children were packed up. And we told you that if you took a child, we had to have this envelope back. And many of those came back before you left the room, but some of you took them home and you're going to bring them back. And we need those back late, no later than next week because we've got to forward these back in because this is the funding stream for those children. If those children are not secured, they're going to give them away to another family, put them back into the pool. So I don't want you to get left off on the child that you chose, you prayed about embracing. Once again, there's two left, and if you want to get a part of that, jump in the game on that, all right? So I'm done. Exciting, Whitefield. I want you to pray. I want you to give. And I want you to go living sent to the glory of God. I want to remind you what I said before. There's only three responses. You can be a sender. You can be a goer. Or you can be disobedient. And you'll answer to Him for that, not me. I'm just providing you the platform by which you can go. One of the ways I want you to go is to find some friends that you need to invite. That's part of going. This is part of the strategy. You've got your arm with a tool to invite somebody to the Wild Game Dinner. It's going to be a great night. Bob Record will be an agent of change for many, many people. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You for this moment. Lord, we're not going to have a traditional invitation here tonight. We're just going to simply let this testimony wash over us. And Lord, we're going to ask You to continue to do what You have done, the work You have started in this great church. Jesus, would You supernaturally find us busy doing what You called us to do? Thank You for Tim DeTellis. Thank You for Buck Hill. Thank You for Jonathan Land. Thank You for all the partners that we have with the Good News Club, especially Woody Simpson and the principals at the two schools we're serving. Thank You for Kathy and Operation Care. Thank you for the McClellans and allowing us the privilege of being at the jockey lot. I thank you for the partnership we have and the access they've given us there. So God, in Jesus' name, be glorified as we continue to find ways to live sent for your glory. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to ask you a question, an attitude of prayer. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to understand the reason this emphasis on Haiti is just one of about 40 things we're trying to do to win people to Christ. And the reason you're here today may not be to hear about Haiti at all. Maybe it's to hear about Jesus. And I promise you, I'll be the last man standing. If you want to meet Christ, you want to find, you just want to ask a question, I'm here for you. If you're here tonight and you came and said, man, I want to join the church tonight, come see me. We'll help you. We'll accommodate you. But know this, Jesus Christ lived and died for you. He lived and died for you. And he rose from the dead to prove he was God, to seal your possibility for heaven. It only takes your embrace. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for Frank. Thank you for David. Thank you for Tim to tell us. Thank you for the privilege of being a partner in life-changing ministry in Haiti. We love you. Amen, amen. God bless you all.